All right, girls. Good morning, good morning. This lesson is on trusting God through adversity. I want you to turn to Romans 5. And as you're doing that, I'm going to give you a little bit of 2 minutes of total, complete honesty in Nancy's life. Total honesty. Okay. I prepared this lesson before Christmas, and then I picked it up 2 weeks ago because we've kind of had a busy December and January. And I thought, oh, yuck. I really did think yuck. I thought, yuck. I don't want to talk about trials. I really don't. I'm done with this. I think we're done. And you know, as I was mulling that around in my mind, and this was kind of in the response to a lot of people that said, oh, I hope 2020 is better for you and your health and Stan's health and all that. And those were really kind comments. And it's not that I welcome trials, because, you know, I don't. But as I was reviewing this lesson, I saw anew the huge blessings that come from trials. Blessings, or even character traits that wouldn't be developed in my own life or yours if life was rosy. So my new prayer this year has been, help me to value what you value, Lord, and help me to look at trials in a new way, with the mindset of Christ, and also with an eternal perspective, not a human one. And I thought, phew, the Lord has quite a lot of work to do in my heart to accomplish that. So, and just so you know, girls, I've been praying that for you, too. So if we have trials this year, hang on. We'll learn. So anyway, I'd like to read Romans 5, verses 3 through 4. It's at the top of your outline also. It says, and not only this, but we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. You know, when I think of adversity, I think of adversity, like the big one. But, you know, sometimes the trials that the Lord brings through our lives are not the big ones. They're the medium ones, or maybe they're even what someone else would say are small ones. But they just come rapid fire. Oh, she's bringing the tape. And they assault us from lots of different angles. And maybe they seem overwhelming and unrelenting. And, you know, they can be just as overwhelming as big ones. And it's been my prayer as I prepared this lesson that we'd be able to learn from the Word and look at the godly example of other fellow believers who, how can we please the Lord during trials that either are totally overwhelming or smaller and they overlap and overlap and overlap and they seem like a huge mountain. And you know, I think Satan would want us to believe that nobody else is going through trials but me. But you know, as I look around this room and as I look at the prayer list, there's not one person in this room that has not gone through some kind of trial in this past year. Some devastating and very public, and others maybe only a few select people know what you're going through and know your pain. But you know, the Lord knows the deep valley that you're going through. Nevertheless, there are incredibly difficult times that they can bring us to our knees. So I'd like to just review just a little bit the word trust that we looked at last semester. Trust is the confidence or feeling of security regarding your situation in life. Our security comes from trusting God. We're going to look very briefly at a few places not to put your trust. Because you know what? The world continues to squish us and pull us away from truth. You may trust in yourself. And we've got a little bit of time. We start now. Let's go to Proverbs 28. 28, verse 26. And it says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. You may trust in your resources. Those are inadequate. Turn back to Proverbs 11:28. And that says, he who trusts in his riches will fall. And I thought, don't trials show us how inadequate material things are to meet our deepest needs, or to provide true resources for our time of stress and pain? Can a new love seat provide comfort for you when someone you love is dying? No. You may trust in people or friends or family. Well, these may fail you. Turn to Proverbs 25:19. And this verse says, like a bad tooth and an unsteady foot is confidence in a faithless man in times of trouble. At first I thought, what a verse. I thought, did I get the wrong verse? Or maybe, but you know what? I think if we're honest, all of us can think of times that I've let somebody else down. I've let another person down. And I've kind of been like a bad tooth to somebody. We're told, though, to trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Augustine said, trust the past to the mercy of God, the present to his love, and the future to his providence. And Corrie ten Boom said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. And Daniel Webster, he had something cool to say, too. He said, faith puts God between us and our circumstances. Although I would say God's right with us through the whole circumstances. I have an example of pure trust, taking somebody totally at their word. One day I was watching our granddaughter, Selah, and it was last summer, and she was probably, I would say, 18 months at that time, and we were outside, and we were looking at this tomato plant, and she said, what did she say? She said, apple. And I said, no, tomato. And she said, apple, and I said, tomato. You know how toddlers do back and forth and back and forth. And finally, she said, tomato. You know, so that was, she was trusting me, but, you know, I could have said peach to her, and I think she would have totally believed me and said peach. I think that's a good example of how we need to believe our Heavenly Father. If he says it, I believe it, and we respond accordingly. In a book by Jerry Bridges, it's called Trusting God Even When It Hurts. He said, the trials of life are what God uses to develop our spiritual muscles. And this was such a good little sentence. He said, the development of beautiful Christ-like character will not happen in our lives without adversity. And I thought, trials spoil our peace, try our patience, but God uses those difficulties to reveal our need to grow. The very meaning of the word trial, this is really cool, girls. The very meaning of the word trial is tested, being directed toward a particular end. And that end is for us to mature in Christ. Trial causes us pain, yes. We naturally want to shrink back from pain, but God has more wisdom and even love for us, that he knows that pain is many times the thing that's going to develop our character. Our response to trials is to be joy. Do you remember right at the top of your outline, Romans 5:3-4? And not only this, but we exalt in our tribulations. Key in on that word exalt. Exalt means to hold in a high position. We're to value our trials. James 1:2-4 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And I think often, many times I think it's an unreasonable expectation that I would feel joy in this situation, but in Christ it is possible to have joy. And when I was studying joy, I read a commentary by Hebert, and he said, we're to regard trials as a training ground for pure joy. We're supposed to have all joy in response to all trials. Because in James it says that the trials are very varied in our lives, and he said too that the joy can be kind of varied. And what he was talking about was he said the joy that you would get from a child getting over croup is different than the joy you would get from a child who has just become saved, or maybe a death of a loved one. Even though that's sad, very, very sad, it's joyful if they're believers. So there's different kinds of joy. And I thought, wow, that's cool. Many people, though, count it joy when they escape the trial, but God says we need to count it all joy when we're also in the trial. It's not the trial that is truly the grounds for joy, but rather it's the expectation of the results that it will develop godly character in me. That's what we want. We want to have the opportunity to honor God through this trial and not just rejoice that it's over. To have joy, Epp said, does not necessarily mean we'll be laughing hilariously about the trials that we're experiencing. And I thought, amen to that one. But it means, he said, we will have a deep-seated confidence that God knows what he's doing and that the results will be for his glory and for our good. James is calling us to have confidence in God during trials and to view them as opportunities under God's grace for growth and development. Through all this, we can't lose courage or be discouraged. You know, it is easy to get discouraged when the trial is never-ending and it becomes darker each day. I want you to turn to Hebrews 12, and we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. And this says, "My son, do not regard lightly." It's Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 6. "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom he loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives." The whole point of this verse is to instill in us courage, to fortify us with courage by explaining the purpose behind the hardships that we're going through. The discipline that the Lord does is done out of love. It's not the mark of a harsh father, but rather a father who is deeply concerned for the welfare and the maturity of his children. There was a Puritan called Samuel Bolton, and he said, "God has thoughts of love in all he does to his people." So, adversity can be an indication of God's loving care and not a token of his disfavor. We're not to make light or to count his discipline or the trial of little value, or to think of it as just something we need to endure, but something that we can profit from. Bridges said that there's no such thing as pain without purpose in the life of a believer. All pain we experience is intended to move us closer to the goal of being holy, as he's holy. He said the road to holiness is paved with adversity. But you know what I want? I want that yellow brick road paved with poppies. And you know, I don't think the Lord always shows us why he allows us to go through a particular trial, and that's okay, because that's when we're learning to trust him. I think we also have to learn that, or for me, I had to learn that whatever the situation is, it's probably better than what I really deserve. None of us really wants what we actually deserve. I need to quit asking myself, "Why did this happen to me?" Because what that's saying is, to God, "I don't deserve this." We need to come to the point where we realize that God's grace is sufficient for me, whatever comes into my life. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9, it says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weaknesses." And he will give us that inner strength we need to bear the hardship until it accomplishes its intended purpose in our lives or the lives of those around us. And in Lamentations 3, verses 37 and 38, it says, "Who is there who speaks and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? It is not from the mouth of the Most High that both good and ill come forth." God is in every trial that comes into my life. He is sovereign. Every adversity that comes across my path is intended to help me to grow in some way. If it wasn't, he wouldn't have brought it into my life. So, what am I supposed to be doing in the midst of this trial? Well, we're to submit to the loving hand of our Father. I'm to make my will God's will. Do I always understand what he's trying to accomplish in my life? No. But you know what? That doesn't excuse me from trusting him. To help us during the trial, we need to be in the Word, obviously, and praying that the Lord would show us passages that will help us to respond correctly and how I'm to conduct myself during this trial. My emotions are not trustworthy. They are very real, very real, but I can't rely on those as a barometer on how to respond or live. Martin Luther said that were it not for tribulation, I would have not understood the Scriptures. As we go to the Scriptures, we see how we should respond in trials, and many times it's the trial itself that helps me to understand God's Word better. For example, in the death of a loved one, the Lord gives us such peace that it says it passes understanding, and I remember knowing that to be true after my sister died and then right after my dad passed away. That peace is so real. To profit from our trials, we have to remember them. God wants us to do more than just simply endure them. He wants us to remember our trials because they bring growth into our lives. Remember God's mercies to you, his providence. Write them down. You know, we're fickle and we can forget God's how he blesses. An example of this is a long time ago when Melissa got married, 15 years ago, and she kept a notebook because she wanted to, you know, stay organized as a bride-to-be, and she'd write down everything. But we decided in that process we would have a section that would be God's blessings, because it can be a stressful time planning a wedding and getting everything ready. And so we just thought we'll have a section that just will show how God has really blessed in a certain area and just unexpectedly blessed. And, you know, 15 years later, if she would look back at that book, if she could find it, you know, after all life has happened, that would be the section she'd probably look at. She probably won't look at the section that says how many boutonnieres she made or, you know, what she did. That is not important. So write down the blessings. You know, if you don't have to journal, but just write down a blessing. Yeah. Other possible goals that the Lord has for my adversity. And I want you to go ahead and turn to John 15:2. We're not too far away from there. John 15:2. It talks about being pruned. And it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. God has to prune us to keep us from pouring our energies into something that is not fruitful. The pleasures of this world and the distractions of this world and my own sinful nature that wants me to depend on me, God will use those trials to loosen my grip on those things that aren't real fruit. Because I think the world can draw us away from truth. A severe illness, loss of material things, maybe the turning aside of friends, the loss of a dream, failure, causes us to think about what's really important in our lives. Trials shake us up, and that's good. The correct response is to make God's will mine and to become more and more dependent on God and to desire only what he would desire would count for eternity, pruning us so we'll be more fruitful. A quote from a book that I read, it was called Living a Life of Hope. It says, God may not want you to be rich, lest you turn to your riches rather than to him. God may not want you to be healed, lest you trust in your health rather than him. God may not want you to be popular, lest you trust in your friends rather than him. God may not want you to be married, lest you find your joy in marriage before you find your joy in him. If God were to simply let us indulge in our worldly pursuits, we would quickly fall into vanity and pride, being puffed up. Yet in his grace, he lets us suffer, that we may stay focused on what really matters, namely him. I love that quote. Another goal might be holiness. Keep your finger in, we're in John, so keep your finger in John, but then go down to Hebrews 12. And Hebrews 12, verse 10, talks about holiness. And it says, but he disciplines us for good, so that we may share in his holiness. Trials reveal our true character and our sin nature. We can many times talk the Christian talk until trials come upon us. Do we live the truths that we know to be true? Trials many times expose areas where we need to be refined. The Lord just doesn't want us to do just the right action. He wants us to be also right on the inside and then to do the right action. Do you remember the goal of adversity is not to get out of it as fast as I can, but to gain as much profit from it and honor the Lord as much as I can in the midst of it, seeking a harvest of righteousness. And then just drop down one more verse. Proverbs 12:11 says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And then go back to John. And this time we're going to be in John 15. So you're just flip back. John 15:5. Another goal could be dependence upon God. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Christ and dependence upon him, we can't do anything that glorifies God. The world says, be independent, be self-reliant. The Lord says, you're going to gain strength as you depend on me. In 2 Corinthians 12:10, it says, I delight in weaknesses, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Dependence upon God and pride don't work together. They're always at odds with one another. The adversity that God brings into your life may be different than the one he brings into mine, because I need to grow in different areas than you do. So the trials might be different, but the goal is the same, greater dependence upon God and bringing him honor. And then, I didn't tell you, but I'm just going to read Hebrews 12:1. It says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So maybe we need to learn perseverance. And then Hebrews 10:36 says, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. A good definition of perseverance is the quality or character that enables one to pursue a goal in spite of obstacles and difficulties, to press forward. Children many times lack perseverance. They start something and then they give up really quickly. It's a mark of maturity to persevere when it becomes difficult. The Christian life is a marathon, not a sprint. And those of you who run marathons and half marathons know what I'm talking about. It's been said that few Christians finish well. And I thought, how sad is that? How sad is that? You know, we want to be different. We want to show the world that because we have Christ in us, we have the strength to keep going, not just plod along, but passionately run the race set before us. So finish well. And that isn't just addressed to someone who's older at the end of their life, because none of us knows when we're going to die. And you know, don't we want to be passionate about our walk with Christ now? Perseverance is a virtue that will grow under testing and trials. Perseverance is the tenacity of spirit that holds up under pressure while awaiting God's time for dismissal of the test or his reward. Faith finds power to persevere by looking at Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Life is intended to be one of continuous growth. And you know, I wrote in my margin when Gil was doing his sermon on Sunday, somewhere in the margin I wrote, God expects rapid growth. He does expect us to grow. But you know, sometimes we do focus on the trial instead of the growth that is produced. Maturity or character is not the result of the number of trials that you've gone through, because I think a person can go through a trial and gain nothing out of it. I know I have at different times. It's not how many notches you have in your belt, how many things you've gone through in your life, but it's the way that you live your life through those trials. Service could be another goal of adversity. Adversity in our lives makes us more useful to the Lord in the area of service. Do you remember Joseph? Joseph's difficult circumstances were not just for him to be in the right place at the right time. That's true. But it was also to make him the kind of the right person for the responsibilities that God would give him. One area of service might be to bring comfort to those who are around you. And a familiar verse is 2 Corinthians 1:4, who comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we're able to comfort others who are in their affliction with the comfort that we have been comforted with. And I thought, we can't pass on something that we haven't received. And as we go through trials, the Lord does comfort us. Another goal might be the fellowship of suffering. In Revelation 1:9, it says, I, John, your brother, and a fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus Christ. So another way we can profit from adversity is the privilege of entering into a special fellowship with other believers who also are going through trials. Trials attack the rich, the poor, those who are new in Christ, those who have walked with Christ a long time, the strong and the weak. It's been said that trials have a leveling effect. Trials draw us together. They warm our hearts towards one another. You know, we're a family. We're the body of Christ. So when one of us hurts, we all hurt. Another goal is, or another result, is our relationship with God deepens. To repeat, instead of just knowing about God's care, we experience his care. In Job 42:5, he said, I've heard about you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. One way of getting to know Christ more intimately is going through trials. Job understood this truth. Trials also sharpen our focus on eternal things, heaven. The harder the trials become and the longer they last, the more we look forward to being with the Lord that we love. And in Romans 8:18, it says, For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to be revealed to us. And then let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4, and we're going to look at verses 16 through 18. And it says, Therefore do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Trials show us what we really love. in Deuteronomy 13:3, he says, "You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." And trials reveal if Christ is truly our first love. Trials also teach us that obedience at all cost, even in the midst of a difficult situation, will lead to blessing from God. And in Hebrews 5:7-9, it says, "In the days of his flesh, when he was offering up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, he was heard because of his piety. And although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered." The path to blessing is sometimes through suffering, but always through obedience, John MacArthur said. Trials teach us to value God's blessings. You know, our minds are going to tell us to value the world and the things of the world, and our senses are going to say value pleasure or ease, but trials tell us to value spiritual things: God, his word, his timing in a situation, his strength, his salvation. I'm going to keep going. Talk louder. Okay. You know, we've looked at a few ways that God can use adversity in our lives. I'm sure there's more. And, you know, we may not always understand what God is doing, but one thing I know for sure, for the believer, all pain has meaning. All adversity has potential profit. We can be sure that in some way he intends the trial that you're going through to profit you. And I put a quote at the bottom of your outline. It's from Warren Wiersbe. He said, "Our values determine our evaluations. If we value comfort more than character, then trials will upset us. If we value the material and physical more than the spiritual, we will not be able to count it all joy. If we live only for the present and forget the future, the trials will make us bitter, not better." And also at the bottom of your outline, I put a quote by Oswald Chambers. He said, "There is no joy in the soul that has forgotten what God prizes." The title of our lesson was Trusting God Through Adversity. We're being asked to entrust ourselves to God. And 1 Peter 4:19 says, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will do right and entrust their souls to a faithful creator." We're to entrust our souls to a faithful creator. And I found out the word trust means, it's a banking term, and it means to deposit for safekeeping. So as we suffer, we're to give our souls over to the care of our Heavenly Father for safekeeping. And you know, I can do that. That I can do. So for me, that's the bottom line. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for your goodness and for your kindness, Lord. Father, I just pray as we do go through trials, you would help us to have a focus that is on you, so that no matter what pain you're allowing into our lives, Lord, it is profitable, Father, and that it does bring you honor and glory. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.